This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, it's day one.
I can't believe we're actually here.
I can't either. Shall we gather?
Let's do it. Hey, Mary, can you tell the writers we're meeting in the room?
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner of 18 years, Liz.
That's me, Liz Craft. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In this episode, we'll talk about how to be a staff writer, not just a staff writer, but a great staff writer on a television show. For those who don't know, staff writer is the lowest level writer on a show. It's a very tricky position.
It is. And we will debate whether Sarah should go through with her insane plan to get a Flemish giant rabbit for her daughter, Violet. I guess that's a spoiler alert over how I feel about it.
Yes. And finally, if you want to make it as a TV writer or screenwriter, our Hollywood hack is the one tool you absolutely must have.
But first, we have an update.
Yes. Our listener, Liz, I just noticed we've been doing letters from people with our names.
Yes. Maybe we're drawn to those.
I guess so. Okay. Our listener, Liz, wrote, "I wanted to thank you for the Hollywood hack in episode 53, State the Obvious. My husband's job had been eliminated, and he had a short amount of time to find a new job in the company. He was understandably upset about having to give up a job he loved and look for a new one. This was coming across in interviews. After listening to your podcast, we talked about how he should state the obvious in job interviews. We worked out how he could phrase why he was looking for a job and why he was interested in the new position. It worked. He received a job offer."
Yay! That's such great news.
So great.
Congratulations.
Thank you for sharing that. I have to say, when I opened this letter in our inbox, I was having like a horrible, sad day. And I read it and just it totally brightened my day. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes. And can we just say, it sounds like you and your husband have a very collaborative marriage, that you communicate really well.
Yes.
Which is always nice to hear.
It really is cool. And also, you allowed us to give ourselves a pat on the back.
Yes.
So
thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks.
We're really happy stating the obvious resonated and helped. And we appreciate that little pat on the back. Okay, Sarah, let's dive into our segment from the treadmill desks of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And today it's all the first-time staff writers starting their jobs.
Yes, all over Los Angeles right now, there are people in writers' rooms beginning their first jobs as actual writers on TV shows. I mean, we still so vividly remember our first day as staff writers.
Beyond stressful. Yeah. Everyone called us the Davids.
Yes, because they didn't know if we'd be around long enough to remember our names.
And there were a lot of people there that were named David.
Yes, so we just
became more Davids.
Davids. But that was our second job, but the first one didn't last long enough for us to be promoted.
Oh, right. So we were still staff writers.
Yes.
And by the way, for anyone who's not familiar with the term staff writer, a staff writer is the first rung on the TV writer ladder. And it's probably the hardest job to get in television. The biggest jump is from not being a staff writer to being a staff writer. From there on, if you're good, you'll keep climbing.
Right. And there are so many misconceptions about being a staff writer. People tell you you should talk or you should not talk. There's just a big mess out there of what you should do. And we want first-time staff writers just to know what to expect.
Yes. And to discuss this subject, we've brought in a real-life, brand-new staff writer from our show, The Fix.
Yes. This is the most exciting moment.
Yes.
Ever. I'm totally about to cry because our new staff writer, drum roll please, is our former assistant, Brooke Turner.
Hi.
Brooke,
yay.
Welcome.
Yay.
So before we dive in, we need to catch everyone up. On the last episode, we shared that you were going to be the writer's assistant for The Fix, which is a coveted job in the industry just to get in the room as mm-hmm. the writer's assistant. But we found some extra money in our budget, and we were able to hire you as an actual staff writer. So
yeah.
you are now, you've been promoted from writer's assistant to staff writer.
Yes.
Yay.
I'm so excited.
We are excited.
We are really excited and so happy. So, Brooke, can you tell everyone, like, what was it like hearing the news? Because we tried to call you and we couldn't reach you.
I know, you guys. I was in Hawaii mm-hmm. and I was taking a nap.
Wow.
So now I'm going to like always take naps
okay,
when
yeah.
I want really good news. Yeah, I woke up, I saw a missed call, then I saw an email and I was like, what? And then I called Liz back and then Liz told me and I just started crying on the phone.
Oh, yeah, you were bawling.
I was like, Liz, I promise I'm
bawling.
Happy. I'm really happy about this. Yeah, it was great. We tried to call you.
Yeah.
Sarah.
It was so awesome.
That's one phone call I'm really sad I missed. But I feel like I know it because I know exactly how you would react. Like I was not at all surprised. Liz texted, Brooke was sobbing. And I was like, yep.
And I was with my friend and we're grown women, but we were like jumping on the bed.
I'm so happy. All right. So you, Brooke, are starting this job. It's a new phase of your career. It's a big deal. So let's talk about what to expect and what the job entails. Now, one thing I would say for starters, and I don't know if you've heard this or not, but there's this idea out there that staff writers are not supposed to speak in the room. Have you heard this?
I have heard that. And I've also heard that a lot of times in like the diversity programs that they have, they tell them not to speak.
Yes. And I think that's a huge mistake. Because writers are there to contribute. Now, obviously, you have to read the room, but we have yet to work with anyone who did not want staff writers speaking up and pitching ideas.
Absolutely. And in fact, we have worked with several staff writers who've really suffered because they were given that advice and took it to heart.
Yes.
And then you're just thinking, why are you just taking up the seat in the room? Like the whole point is to be offering ideas and engaging in the conversation. And if you're not doing that, I mean, you're really not there just to listen.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing that is true is you don't as a staff writer want to like get an idea in your head and then keep pitching the same idea and like really get stuck on it when everybody else wants to move on. But that's entirely different from not pitching ideas.
Right.
I mean, one of the best qualities a TV writer can have is just to be a font of ideas. And we all know that most ideas suck. I mean, that's to be expected, right? 99 ideas out of 100 are going to be rejected from all of us. So that's no reason not to contribute.
Yes. And often we will say, okay, I'm going to pitch this idea that doesn't work.
Right.
Because it might lead to something that does. And, you know, there's nothing worse than feeling like you're going to be judged on a bad idea. So just know we're not going to judge you on a bad idea.
Oh, thanks.
We don't.
I think I gave you guys plenty while I was working.
And you gave us a lot of good ideas, which is why you got the job.
Exactly. And we don't judge each other on our bad ideas.
Mm-mm.
We have terrible ideas all the time. It's just part of the job.
Yes. And now one thing, Brooke, you are a very confident person, so I don't know that you would have this issue, but I think a lot of people coming into writers' rooms are not confident. And so one thing that I think they can do if it's really hard for them is to share ideas with other writers, not the showrunner, first.
Mm.
So I don't know if you've talked to friends who do that or if you think that's a good idea.
That sounds like a great idea. This is nice that you have this podcast and now I'm getting all these tips ahead of time, all the inside info. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, people have done that with us when we weren't running a show, when we were just consulting on a show. A staff writer would come to us and say, what do you think about this idea? And you can help them kind of develop it into something that they want to pitch in the room if they're afraid.
Yes. Now, one thing I do want to point out is that I think it can be easy for staff writers to kind of want to avoid the showrunner because it's intimidating. I mean, I know for me, when we first started, I would do anything to avoid speaking to a showrunner or being left alone, God forbid, in a room. I'd be like, don't leave me alone with Joss. I don't know what to say, please. Just because that person seems like so far removed. But what we have learned over the years is that it's really important, even as a staff writer, to develop a relationship with whoever is running the show. You don't want to depend on people down, you know, other people to sort of pass on how great you are. You want that person to see for herself or himself how great you are.
Yes. How do you do that, though? What's your suggestion on developing that relationship in a way that isn't annoying? Because
right.
there are times when yes. that could be irritating.
Yes.
Brooke obviously has a relationship with us.
This yes,
is not going to be
not an issue for Brooke. Like yeah, you don't have this problem. Well, I mean, the one thing to do, which Gretchen and I have discussed on Happier, our other podcast, is it sounds like really kind of like a cheating almost, but it works, which is if you know the person you're working for has a favorite TV show.
Oh, yes.
Watch that TV show. Mm-hmm. And then you can talk to them about it. I mean, this isn't just for a staff writer, obviously. This goes for any job on the planet. TV is a great way to have an ongoing conversation. I mean, yeah, it's great if they have a favorite movie, but that's one conversation. A TV show unfolds over, you know, 13 weeks. So you can have it like if you're a Game of Thrones show, watch Game of Thrones. So you can join that conversation every week.
And then sort of on the in the work environment plane, there's also just look for holes that need to be filled.
Yes.
So, for example, if like on our show, it's a legal show. Obviously, Marcia Clark has a fair amount of legal knowledge.
Yes.
but if there's something that we need to know that we don't know, going home that night and doing a little research and sending an email about it is both a good way to kind of make a specific spot for yourself. Like, mm-hmm. this is a thing that I do.
Yeah.
And develop a relationship.
Yes.
With the showrunner, who'll then be like, ooh, Brooke sent that interesting email and we should talk more about that.
And yes. Brooke will be sending emails.
Yeah. And another thing you can do is write on the board. You know, our thing is that we always write ideas and outlines up on a big whiteboard or several whiteboards. And if you have decent handwriting and you're willing to stand up there and write, it's a really great service to provide because we have a writer's assistant, but the writer's assistant is taking notes. You don't want the writer's assistant stuck at the board because then he or she isn't taking notes.
And I think it's also a good way to start to understand structure
mm-hmm.
because you're going, okay, this beat feels like an act break, so it'll go at this position mm-hmm. on the board. This beat feels like kind of a mid-act beat, so it'll go in this position on the board. Like just sort of on a global level, it's mm-hmm. a good way to understand how breaking happens.
Yes. Now, another thing I would say, Brooke, is, and I don't, you know, again, knowing us, this will be less of an issue for you, but I think it can be, even if you want to pitch in the room, it can be impossible to get a word in because TV writers are a very talkative bunch who tend to have big personalities and just like go at it. And if they're the more experienced they are, sort of the more they do that. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like I just can't get a word in, you can always write down pitches mm-hmm. and send them in an email,
mm-hmm.
Which, again, just lets people know that you are thinking, you are contributing.
Yeah. And I would just say go easy on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't beat yourself up if you feel like you're not following the conversation.
Yes, this is huge.
Because writer's room conversation moves very fast. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like going to a foreign country mm-hmm. if you like half speak the language
right.
and you go in feeling confident like, yeah, I know Swedish, I'll be fine. mm-hmm. And then you get there and it's like everyone's like, blah, 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 blah. And you realize, oh, shit, I know a lot less than I thought I knew.
Right, because it's a nonlinear conversation.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll think everyone's talking about Act One, somebody will say something and then someone else will go, oh, so then the end of Act Four is this. And you go, wait, what are we talking about?
Right.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
And when there are a bunch of really experienced people, we've all sort of done a mental calculus that shifts everything around in our heads and totally get that. You don't know how to do that yet. And that's fine. But just like it can get very confusing.
Yeah,
I remember being so overwhelmed.
Just exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, the first few weeks, you may just be so exhausted at the end of the day mentally. So don't worry. It will get much easier. And also when we say send pitches or whatever, everybody out there, you don't have to do that like every night.
No.
Like, don't go crazy here.
Don't overwhelm people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't overwhelm people with, it's a balance to strike.
Yeah.
What do you have any?
Ooh,
what?
That's a lot.
How you feeling, bro?
I recently took this writing workshop, and they had us read a book. I wish I remembered the name of it, but they talked a lot about the growth mindset, and that was really helpful.
Carol Dweck.
Growth mindset versus fixed mindset.
Okay, we'll link to that.
Yeah, it was really helpful because in thinking about pitching in the room, it makes you more comfortable feeling like, okay, this may or may not be a good idea, but I'm going to share it, hoping that we get somewhere, and you don't feel like if you're wrong, it's bad.
Well, that's
you're
a great
always
attitude.
Working on getting better and learning.
Yeah.
So. I'm just going to take that book with me into the room every single day.
Just cradle it.
Yeah.
Another great thing to do, which I'm sure you'll do, you're a very social person, is bond with the other writers, especially other lower level writers. You know, have drinks, go to dinner, make friends. Because, I mean, look, our business has a lot of stabbing each other in the back, a lot of bad behavior, but you also can make the best friends. And some of the people we trust most in the world are people that we've worked with. And it doesn't matter if we don't see them for 10 years. It's like we fall right back into an amazing relationship if we happen to, happen upon them crossing a lot. So you're going to make some great friends. So I encourage you to, embrace your new colleagues.
Yes.
All the staff writers excited. Out there, don't feel threatened. Here's the other thing. It's very easy when you're in that position to go, oh my gosh, this person at my level is doing better than I am. I'm threatened by them. Mm-hmm. Just try not to ever feel that way. Try to just focus on what you do and don't worry about what they do.
Yeah.
Which is easier said than done, of course.
I think I'll just have to channel my track life. Because I was always in a lane, and I just had to, focus on my lane, so that's what I'll do.
Oh, okay.
I'll do my best. No promises.
Well, also being on a team.
Yeah.
Right? I'm...
Yes.
Don't know much, but right? Are you? You're on
a team,
but you also have your lane.
You have your lane, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to think about it that way too.
Well, you're going to be amazing.
Thanks,
I have no doubt.
Thanks, ladies.
It's going to be really fun for us to have you in the room and being a part of our show.
Yeah.
And your show. It's now all of our shows.
Yay.
Well, and you really have. This is kind of the second iteration of a show that we did with Marsha.
Yes.
And you were there at the very beginning. So it feels very full circle. And
yes.
We're very excited.
Yes.
I am too.
Now, everybody out there, obviously, every industry has entry-level positions, that first big job. We'd love to hear from people, advice to those who get that first big break. What do you do when you're in that job? Because I think it can be really overwhelming and scary. And the more tools you have, the better.
Absolutely. So let us know at happierinhollywood@gmail.com. And if you're a staff writer somewhere right now, hang in there. You got this.
And speak up.
Speak up.
Next up, I'll try to convince Sarah not to buy an enormous rodent for her daughter. But first, an ad break. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/Hollywood. That's StoryWorth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase.
All right, now it's time for a segment we call LVS, Liz versus Sarah, in which we discuss slash debate something we may not see eye to eye on. My daughter Violet's birthday is coming up, and I am going to get her a giant Flemish rabbit. Liz does not want me to buy a rabbit for Violet.
Yes, I just think we should discuss this. This is really a good plan. We've mentioned it before on the podcast that you were thinking about it. Yeah. And I expressed a little bit of hesitation slash dismay. But now I think we need to really get into it.
Okay.
Okay. The thing is, I mean, getting a rabbit is one thing. That alone I would find to be a lot to take on. You have two dogs. And don't you have fish?
We have one fish. We have a beta fish.
But this isn't even an ordinary rabbit. It's a Flemish giant rabbit, which if anyone wants to hear our initial discussion about this, you can listen to episode 49. But they are huge. I mean, it's the size of a dog, and not a tiny dog, kind of a middle-sized dog. And it's more work than a dog.
Well, okay.
From what I understand.
You're right. They are huge. In fact, when I showed you the picture of this rabbit that we're getting online, you literally like recoiled. Your eyes like got saucer sized, and your whole body like just like pulled back with revulsion.
Yeah.
But I think they're really cute. There's one of these rabbits at the school that Violet is going to go to, and they're huge. Yeah, they're granted they are huge. But they're adorable. And, you know, I'm a researcher.
I am very,
when I'm about to do something, I read all about it and find out everything I can and all the things I'm going to need and all of this. And I actually picked the giant Flemish because all rabbits are a ton of work. And all rabbits have very specific needs. But I felt like the giant or the Flemish giant actually was a rabbit that could kind of integrate into our family in an easier way. Like, because it's so big, the dogs aren't going to be like, I want to eat you.
Right.
So anyway, I'm just saying it's not like just a random kind of choice of rabbit or like I'm like, this is the craziest rabbit I can get, so I'll get this one. I actually have legitimate reasons for choosing this particular rabbit.
What about the fact that everyone says they chew through everything, including electrical cords?
Yeah, that's a problem.
What are you going to do about that?
I mean, I'll do whatever I have to do. I will put PVC pipe on the cords, which seems to be the thing to do. I have dog gates throughout my house. So keep the rabbit in a room that doesn't have a bunch of cords around.
So it won't be in a cage. It'll just be hop. Does it even hop? Can it hop? Does it shuffle?
I assume it hops. No, it'll have an indoor cage and an outdoor cage.
Okay.
The outdoor one will have a big run attached. And the indoor one is like a giganto dog cage that's really just for sleeping. So we'll kind of take it in and out, and it'll have outdoor running around time.
I guess what's interesting to me, and you and I have been having this debate for like 30 years, I think, that I always feel like you choose to make your life harder. You know, I'm like, yes. You're an only parent. You have two dogs. You're running a show. Your daughter is starting kindergarten. You have a lot going on. And to add an exotic pet to the mix, it just feels
like I'm getting
the straw that breaks the camel's back to me as your friend.
Right. I get that. But I also, to me, I think of it as, well, first of all, you know, I like projects.
Yes.
And I kind of can't have too many projects. I like having steps to take and things to do. And so for me, that's fun. And then at the end of it, you have a bunny. But I also think it's the say yes to a larger life. and kind of embracing things. And, you know, you whenever you bring something new into your life, there's an adjustment period that's difficult. And then you integrate it. You know, when we got our second dog, at first it's like, ah, God, now I have to do this and that. And it's the same thing. It's you just sort of go through those difficult like 2 months and then that new element is integrated into your life and it's all fine. And, you know, life is about embracing things. I don't know. See, like, I think it's sad that you don't get enjoyment from pets. Like, I get so much enjoyment from my dogs. Yeah. And I think we'll get enjoyment from the giant rabbit, you know? And the, like, the enjoyment balances out the additional work.
Right. I think I'm just not an animal person.
Yeah.
In general.
Right.
It's not like I hate animals. Some I hate rodents of any kind. But they just don't give me the pleasure that they give you. I don't like petting a dog does not like give me an endorphin rush as some people it does.
Which I think is just like heartbreaking.
I think it's great because then I don't have to go around, you know, wishing I had every dog I saw.
Well, that's
true. I'm open
to
getting a dog, by the way.
Yeah,
We're ready. We are going to get a dog, and I'm sure I will love the dog, and I love my dog growing up. It's just that I don't feel like my life is missing something when I don't have a dog.
Right, whereas I do. If I don't have a dog, I feel like I don't even know where I live.
Well, I will say on the positive side that I do think Violet will be very popular at school having this huge rabbit and everyone will want to come to Violet's house and see the giant rabbit and it will be a conversation starter.
Yeah. And I want to be very careful about how I say this because one thing that I think pets are good for is teaching responsibility to kids.
Mm.
But kids can't be responsible for pets.
Right.
I think that's a common mistake that people make. You get a pet and think your kid is going to take care of it.
Yes.
And that is 100% the wrong approach.
Right.
Parents are always responsible for the pet.
Right.
But having a pet really does teach kids. And you have a cat. Jack totally gets this.
Yes, he loves his cat.
Yeah. And it teaches kids about empathy and about responsibility and just sort of like I think it's part of being a whole human being.
Yes.
There are people out there who probably hate pets even more than you and think, that's not true.
Well, but do have two dogs and a fish. So we have that lesson has been taught. But OK, it's your life. If you want a giant rabbit, please keep it away from me.
You're going to love this rabbit.
No,
you're going to love it. I'm going to name it after you.
Oh, my God.
All right. Next up, we have a screenwriting Hollywood hack. Less of a hack, actually, and more of a must. But first, an ad break.
Okay, Sarah, it's time for this week's Hollywood hack. And it seems so obvious, but yet we have never done this as a hack. And it's Final Draft, the screenwriting program. If you want to make it as a writer in Hollywood or New York or, you know, or anywhere else, you've got to have Final Draft. If you don't have it, you forget it. You're doomed.
Yeah. It's like saying you want to be a sailor without a sailboat.
Exactly. And if you don't know what Final Draft is, it's the industry standard screenwriting software. People will try to tell you to use other things like Movie Magic or Celtics, but Final Draft is the standard. That is what people expect documents to come in.
Like
executives are expecting a Final Draft document.
Yes, and it's the one that you need to be fluent with in order to have a career.
Yes, and the idea that one, it just, you want the tools of a trade. Whatever you are, you want to have the tools of that trade.
If you're an artist, you need a paintbrush.
Yes. And in this case, it's like to sit down and write a script with Final Draft, it makes you more of a professional. Even before you've sold anything, it's like saying, I take myself seriously, and I'm going to use the industry standard.
Yes.
And like, it isn't cheap.
No, it's
not.
It's
quite expensive.
Yeah. But, you know, if you can get it while you're a student, because it's about $250, Mary says.
Which is much cheaper than it is normally.
Right. So if you still have a student ID, you know, jump right now and get Final Draft. And this reminded me of a letter we got from someone who said, like, when you talk about something and say it's not an ad, is it really not an ad?
Right. This is not an ad for Final Draft.
This is for real not an ad. No one is giving us any money for saying this. It's just, it's a really important thing. It's the tool you must have.
Yes. And it's very easy to use, by the way. So yeah. Don't be intimidated. It's much easier than trying to write a script without it.
Right.
So
and like Word.
It's very intuitive.
Yeah.
So get Final Draft and write that script.
Damn it. All right. That's it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. Email us or send us a voice memo at happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe if you haven't already.
Special thanks to Brooke Turner for joining us today. Thank you to our producer, the amazing Chuck Reed, and everybody here at Sankola Sound. Thanks to the awesome ad team at Panoply. Thank you to our assistant, Mary Merkins, for helping us juggle the insanity that is our lives right now.
And for being in charge of moving our offices.
Yes. And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at sfame and Liz is at lizcraft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it. So, Brooke, like, what are you most excited about or not excited about being a staff writer?
Oh. I've realized over the past year I'm really controlling. So I am not excited about...
You know I like that.
...walking into this, like, unknown what is, you know... but at the same time, I'm trying to embrace that. I'm really excited about the possibility. I went to House of Intuition before you guys called me and got this candle, and it was a road opener candle, and I lit it, and I set my intention, and then the candle went out, and then you guys called me. So.
Oh, my God. I just got chills.
It's fate.
We have to get one of those candles.
I know.